Good morning, and thank you for being with us through the means of Facebook. This morning we'll be in Isaiah chapter 25, and we'll look only at one verse, verse 1, and those of you here in the auditorium, again, we'll ask you to stand. Isaiah 25, and we'll read the first verse. It says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning as we got in your house, as we look to 2022 and we leave 2021 behind, oh Lord, and we pray that you would grace us and strengthen us, Lord, that we go through difficulties and trials and afflictions, Lord, and sicknesses and whatever, Lord, that you would be with us, that you would give us that strength as we persevere and help us to keep our faith and hope in thee, oh Lord. We pray that you bless your word this morning. For we look to you, Lord. Speak to our hearts. For in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please be seated. Again, this morning as we consider Isaiah 25, I was vacillating back and forth on what to speak and several things. And matter of fact, Alex had asked me yesterday what I was going to preach. And so I'm preaching Caleb, trusting God, and because he served the Lord faithfully, that's what I'm looking at. But I had just finished reading the book of Isaiah, and it really blessed my heart. And some of you already know one of the blessed things I love to read in the Bible are what is known as personal pronouns, and I know that David uses them a lot in his psalm when he speaks about his God, and he says, "My God." We're here. Isaiah uses that personal pronoun, and he says again in Isaiah 25, O Lord, thou art my God. Makes it very personable. He says, my God. Says, O Lord, thou art my God. And, again, as I said, David uses this phrase a lot, many times, the personal pronouns, my God. And Isaiah's God was David's God, so Isaiah can say, just like David, my God, my God. And therefore, Isaiah here, he speaks about his God and he says, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. And he speaks about worshiping God and praising God and thanking God because of the wonderful things that God has done. And so he had such a conviction and assurance. So he declares, O Lord, thou art my God. So this first Sunday of 2022, I'm going to be preaching on the Lord is my God. Amen. And so we ask you this morning, can you say with a clear conscience and declare the Lord is my God? Having the same conviction like David, the same like Isaiah, and confess the Lord is my God. I can't answer for you. I can't even answer for my own wife or my children. I need to answer on my own with a clear conscience that I can say the Lord is my God. And one of the blessings and promises from God is, of course, we know when he says to his children, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so it gives me much assurance as we look to 2022, knowing that my God is with me from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. And so what hope, what peace in my heart, knowing that just because one day God saved my soul and he saved me from my sins, made me as one of his own, but yet he promised me, and he said when he entered with me into a covenant, when he saved me, it says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And so, again, if you confess that the Lord is your God this morning, I again encourage you to look to 2022 with spiritual goals in mind. Again, if we leave 2021 behind, let us enter 2022, and may God again grace us, bless us, that we might accomplish spiritually what perhaps we didn't do in 2021. Take the opportunity of this new year to fulfill your spiritual goal. Many people talk about so many resolutions, New Year's resolution. I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be punctual. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be helping others. But I love what John MacArthur says. He says, quote, if you like to have a New Year's resolution, resolve to be pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. So as we look to 2022 to renew our spiritual goals, I, again, can't help think of those blessed words in Philippians 3 that I preached many times on the first Sunday of the years. And where Paul writes and says, not as though I had already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after I have may apprehend for that which I apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, I love this, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before us. And I know it's a hard thing to leave those things behind, but it's good for the soul to leave those things behind and press forward to the things that are before. And in verse 14, Paul continues and he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was not perfect like neither one of us. Paul had his own failures, his struggles with sin. But the thing is, he never gave up. And perhaps last year you might have made some spiritual promises or resolutions, you know, maybe some vows that you would do. And maybe it was to pray more, to read the Word of God more. Maybe you wanted to be that shining light for Christ. And maybe in 2021, you wanted to read a particular book, a commentary, or do a specific Bible study. And things happened, and you weren't able to get to it. And you didn't accomplish your spiritual goal. But 2021 is gone. Put those things behind you. Not that we were failures or anything like that. No, look forward to 2022 to accomplish those spiritual goals. 2021 is behind us. Let's look forward. Don't live in any type of guilt or regret. So seek in 2022 to accomplish those goals, putting those things behind you and reassert and reassess to make some new spiritual goals and seek the grace of God to fulfill them. But again, don't mull over the past. It's gone. We can never bring it back. Yes. We have an opportunity in 2022 to do what we didn't do in 2021. So again, as Paul would say, putting those things behind us in 2021 and looking forward to 2022. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we just forget everything and as though nothing happens. No. But I'm just saying not to get so caught up with it, but to look forward to 2022. Okay? Looking to God with great expectation to bless us. We look to 2022, especially if you can proclaim the Lord is my God. Being persuaded, having that steadfast faith to follow and serve God in sincerity and truth. Why? Because he is my God. Again, as we enter 2022, I ask you, is the God of the Bible your God? Can you say with that conviction and conscience, clear conscience of your heart, with some assurance and declare, the Lord is my God. Now, again, Isaiah says, O Lord, thou art my God. I mean, what an interesting phrase when you think about it. But it's also a captivating phrase that you capture the heart of God's people to be able to say without reservation and great conviction to say, the Lord is my God. I mean, when Isaiah said, O Lord, thou art my God, it was personal to him. But it was a blessed application to his heart. And it, perhaps, though Isaiah might have been saying, I don't know about you, but one thing I know, God is my God. The Lord is my God. Wholeheartedly declaring, the Lord is my God. And so I love what Isaiah said. I love what David, again, uses the personal pronouns in speaking about his God and always using the pronoun mine. But my favorite phrase is used by Zechariah the prophet. Turn with me to Zechariah 13. Let me tell you how to get there. If you go to the book of Matthew, you make a left turn and go down two blocks or two books and you hit Zechariah. Okay? So from Matthew, go to your left, Malachi, and then Zechariah right there. And look what it says there in Zechariah 13. Of course, verse 1, I got to read verse 1. It says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sins and for uncleanness. You see, in the day that Christ died on the cross, there was a fountain open wide for sin. Yes, it was the precious blood of Christ, that blessed fountain that washes sin away. But the verse I want to get to is down in verse 9, the last verse of chapter 13 of Zechariah. He says, God says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." I love that phrase. The Lord is my God. I'm going to talk about using personal pronouns. The Lord is my God. My God. But also notice the, if I can use it, the reciprocation that is used in this word. Because God says, I will say it is my people. God also uses personal pronouns. Amen. Amen. God says, my people. And then he turns around and he says, regarding his people, they will say what? The Lord is my God. Don't you just love that? I will say it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Again, what a blessing to be able to say, the Lord is my God. Now, what makes this text very interesting, I want you to know that this is the only place in the Bible that has this phrase, the Lord is my God. You won't find that anywhere else in the Bible. That blows me away. It blows my mind. And you also know I enjoy doing word studies, and I enjoy using what is called the first law mention, which is to look at a particular phrase the first time it is used in the Bible. And I was totally awestruck again to find this particular phrase again when it says, the Lord is my God, knowing that this phrase is not found anywhere else in the Bible. Now, you can find many verses with the phrase, the Lord is, and you can find many places when it says, the Lord is mine. But here alone, you find the Lord is my God. For example, in Exodus 15:2, it says, the Lord is my strength. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock. Psalm 23:1. Wait. Let's try that one more time. Psalm 23:1. There we go. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and salvation. Psalm 94:22. The Lord is my defense. Lamentations 3:24. The Lord is my portion. There are a lot of phrases that use the Lord is mine. Whatever. You know, but what I'm saying, this is the only place in the Bible that uses that particular phrase, the Lord is my God. The Lord is my God. I mean, you can find the phrase, the Lord my God, 19 times in the Old Testament. You can see it there at the end of, I think it's in Zechariah 14:5, Zechariah 14:5, it says, and the Lord my God shall come. And so you can find the phrase my God many times in the scriptures, okay? But what I'm saying is that particular phrase, the Lord is my God, is found nowhere else. And yes, I know that the word is, it is in italics. But nonetheless, it says, the Lord is my God. And perhaps the closest you can get to this is when Thomas sat there in John 20:28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. You know, last week we saw the meaning of Benjamin, the son of my, I got to make emphasis on the word my now, the Lord is my right hand. But interesting that the name of the prophet Elijah, that his name is the closest to our blessed phrase, the Lord is my God. Because the name Elijah means my God is Jehovah, or Jehovah is my God, or if you wish, Yahweh is my God. Again, what a precious and applicable phrase to all God's people, that they might be able to say, the Lord is my God. So as we enter into 2022, let us enter with that blessed phrase in the strength of God and say, the Lord is my God. He is my God. To be able to face any trial or situation that might come into our life, knowing what? that the Lord is my God. I think also in Hebrews 13, I'll read it to you, verses 5 and 6, and he said, let your conversation or conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, speaking of God, for God had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, what? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. So this is why we must walk by faith and not by sight. And so again, Isaiah there in Isaiah 25, that I know we sing also, in Isaiah 25, uses that blessed phrase, O Lord, thou art my God. My God. But again, as I said, I love that phrase in Zechariah 39, the Lord is my God. I mean, don't you just love the way that sounds? The Lord is my God. It makes it very personal. And so again, it's a reminder, Christianity is not about religion in and of itself. It's about having a relationship with the living and true God, where every child of God can proudly declare and say, the Lord is my God. Remember, the word mine, it speaks of possessive language. That is, it belongs to me. The Lord is my God. Okay? It's like me saying, Sandra sitting here in the front pew, Sandra is my wife. I can't say that about any other woman, but I can say that about my wife, Sandra. She is my wife, and in 2 weeks, my wife and I will celebrate our 39th anniversary. I mean, Sandra is my wife. I can say Tracy is my daughter, Christopher is my son. Melissa is my daughter. We use that personal pronoun. Mine belongs to me. A relationship, it's precious, you know. I can also say, you know, Emma, my granddaughter. You know, Sophie, Lucy, my granddaughter. I can go through all my grandchildren and claim their names that they're my grandchildren. I can't say that about other children. So I want you to see the importance of that personal pronoun, mine. It is possessive. It is mine. And therefore, the Lord is my God. Because there is something special about that word, mine. It is possessive. It is personal. Did you know that even the Lord Jesus Christ used this personal pronoun in speaking to his Father, his God? In John 20:17, I'll read it to you. Christ had resurrected, and as he was walking, I think with Mary and Martha was going to touch him, and Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. Go to the brethren and tell them unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. I love that. And then of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ was getting ready to die upon the cross, right before he died, those blessed words in Matthew 27:46, it was about the ninth hour, and Jesus Christ cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is what? To say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so we see that this is a precious word, this pronoun, this possessive pronoun. And so again, we ask you this morning, can you with a convicted heart and a confident heart, can you say, the Lord is my God? I mean, not just saying those words, you know, it's some sort of a religious connotation, but in the true sense of a relationship with the living and true God, can we say, the Lord is my God? He is my God. Again, as we said earlier, David says there in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restored my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so David here again using personal pronoun describing who is his God. Why? Because David was speaking about that personal relationship with his God. When you have the Lord as your God, he is also your shepherd. You have God as your shepherd. This is why the Lord would tell us there, my sheep hear my voice. There's something, there's a relationship. We call him my shepherd. He calls us his sheep. I love that. But what I want us to see is what David said there in Psalm 31. Go to Psalm. Go to the book of Psalms. In Psalm 31, and I know I preached on this before, and that's why I remembered it. But I love what it says there again. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15. David said, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemy and from them that persecute me." David clearly understood that God was his God. And if God was his God, it would follow suit that he would say, "My times are in his hand." He says it with such assurance and confidence. He says, "My times are in thine hand." You know, if we were to read all the verses from 1 to 13, you would see how David's trial seems to get worse and worse and worse. As a matter of fact, in the first 6 verses, David uses 20 personal pronouns. He uses I, my, me, my, me, I, so many times, speaking of the trial that he's going to. And so in verses 1 to 6, we see David's confidence. And then in verses 7 and 8, we see David's consideration. In verses 9 and 13, we see David's concern. But then when you get to verses 14 to 13, we see David's consistency, where David had that firmness, that steadfastness, his endurance, his perseverance. He had a firm resolve and determination to trust God, even in the midst of such a severe and hard, intense trial. Verse 14 is the key to the whole chapter. This is, again, the essence of faith. This is the language of faith that includes that hope and trusting God in all our circumstances and difficulties. I love the way David exerts such great faith in trusting God in the midst of a hard, devastating trial. Notice the language of faith again. David says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord." I mean, when you consider everything that he has said in the first 13 verses. Again, as I said earlier, it seems to be getting worse and worse and worse, and it's going up and it's getting worse and worse. And as you get to verse 14, it's like, pow, but no matter how bad it's getting, but I have trusted in thee. That's the whole point. "But I have trusted in thee, O Lord." Why, David? Because he said, "Thou art my God." That's why. That's the whole point. "I trusted in thee because thou art my God." So no matter how terrible was the trial, David's faith was greater than his trial. And so David's faith was firm because he served a great God, and God was personally his, because he says with such confidence, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord." I said, "Thou art my God. Thou art my God." Powerful. Again, as though David is saying, "The Lord is my God." And so again, as you entered into 2022, can you say with such clarity in your heart and assurance, "The Lord is my God"? David, God to David was so real. David had such a confidence that he would say, "Thou art my God." And I love what this commentator said, John Stockton. He says, quote, "How much is it more worth than 10,000 mines of gold to be able to say, 'God is mine'? God's servant is apprehensive of it, and he seeth no defect, but this may be complete happiness to him, and therefore he delights in it and comforts himself with it. It's God, it's David's God was personal." Amen. Unquote. And so David is saying, "In all my suffering, in all my trial, in all my pain, my heartache, I cling to my God." Why? Because thou and thou alone art my God, and you will always be. And so again, what is it that caused David's faith to soar? What is it to, what is it that caused him to sustain that in such hard times? What caused him to persevere, to endure? Because he knew that everything was in God's providential hand. And therefore, again, in great faith, he gloriously declared, "My times are in thy hand." Why? Because thou art my God. And I hope you see that relationship that he had with God, that he could trust his God. And so again, as we enter 2022, can we say truly, the Lord is my God and my times are in his hand? And again, I say the following very carefully, and do not misconstrue my words and what I'm going to say. But here in Psalm 31 and verse 14, really, David's words are not deep or mysterious. They're just simple, faithful words, trusting and proclaiming that God is his God. Declaring, "But I trusted in thee. My times are in your hand." Another quote, Spurgeon says, "The sovereign arbiter of destiny holds in his own power all the issues of our life," unquote. And so David's comfort was in his understanding of what, of the sovereignty of his God. No matter how bad the trial got, he knew what? That his God was in control. Why? "Because my times are in thy hands." My times, all the time, every time, all the day, all the night. That is 24/7. My times are in God's hand. You know, in another psalm, notice what David says. I'll read it to you. And we read this, and we sing this also. In Psalm 71, it says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear to me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, that I may continually resort and give commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress." You see, again, all those personal pronouns of David. My strong habitation, my rock, my fortress. Why? Because God was his God. And then in Psalm 73:23, Asaph writing, and he says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." In other words, to know, to understand that the sovereign, omnipotent right hand of God is what holds me. It is the same right hand that holds my time. And this is why Asaph continues there in Psalm 73, and he says, "Thou, O God, shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Again, David saying, God is my portion. And so I say all this to again understand that it was a personal relation with God. And it's that personal relationship with God that sustains us, that we can also say, the Lord is my God and my times are in his hand. And so there is great confidence in that phrase. It's not, well, I think he's my God. Kind of hope he's my God. Well, it could be he's my God. No. The Lord is my God. Amen. It was very personal, and he had such assurance in his heart, clear confidence. And so, my dear ones, we must cultivate this faith in the spirit, assured dependence upon God. As another writer would say, and I love this, he says, quote, "The sweetest word of the whole Bible is that monosyllable, my," unquote. Amen. I don't know if that's the sweetest word, but that's a good word in the Bible. But I love that quote. So again, as we enter 2022, I remind you, can you say, my God is my God? Can you have that confidence and you can say, my God leads me. My God guides me. My God teaches me. My God cares for me. My God watches over me. My God preserves me. My God loves me. This again is having that personal relationship with God. And I said earlier, yes, old age has gotten to me, you know, getting weak, feeble, but it's not going to cause me to lack faith in God. And to know that when one day death will come knocking upon my door, whether it be night or day, with all its gloom, Death will not find me in destitute. Why? Because God is my God. And Psalm 48:14, it says that God will be my guide even unto death. So he's going to be with me this whole time. You know, I can say I have all things, not because I have some big bank account that I don't, or because I'm smart and have some big, you know, degree and or whatever it may be. No, 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 no. It is simply because the Lord is my God. That's all. The Lord is my God. And again, I ask, is he your God? You know, a lost person outside Christ, you know, they're always going for something more and more because there's no satisfaction. And you buy something, it gets old. And you know, maybe a new vehicle, a new house, a new job, piece of clothing. But to the child of God, there's that gracious heart of contentment. Because if I have God, I have everything. Everything I need. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't need those other things, okay? We do need a good vehicle and a good house and all that. But to understand, those things, they don't have me. But God has me. And he is my God. That's the difference. And therefore, we can say, just like Solomon did, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Amen. Yes. So again, that phrase in Zechariah 13:9, again, I love when it also reads, I mentioned this earlier, in God speaking and proclaiming his people. Again, it says in Zechariah 13:9, and I will bring the third part of the fire. I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, don't get so caught up with the interpretation. What do you think it means with the first part, second or third part? No, no, no. Look at the best part of the last part of the verse when he says, thou shalt call on my name and I will hear them and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. I mean, what a blessing when God's people can call upon his name and say, the Lord is my God. But also what a blessing that God would say to us, my people, it is my people. The living and true God saying, my people. And therefore, we can confidently say with great and holy conviction again, the Lord is my God. Now, the only way that we can say that the Lord is my God is for God himself to say to us that we are his people, because we're talking about a relationship with God. Okay? Not again some religious observation or whatever, but a true living relationship with God. I love what it says there in Galatians 4. It says, how be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no God, but now after ye have known God, or rather are known of God. What a difference. It is not so much if we know God, but does God know us? And if God knows us, then we are his people. And he claims us as his people. You know, we said earlier again, you know, that in Psalm 23, David proclaims powerfully, the Lord is my shepherd. But in John 10, Christ says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As a father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord calls his people his sheep. I love that. He calls us his sheep. And so here we see that mutual relationship. He is my God, and we are called his people. This is what is known again as covenantal language. That is all based on a covenant. You see, God is a God that works out his purposes based on covenant. I don't have time to deal with all the covenants in the Bible. But when God uses such language as my people and I will be their God, again, it is covenantal language. You know, when you read through the Bible, you read of the covenant of the Abrahamic covenant with Adam. I said Abraham, I meant the Adamic covenant with Abraham. Then you read about the Noahic covenant with Noah, the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham, the Mosaic covenant with Moses, the Davidic covenant with David, and all these covenants, but all these covenants are what? Are finally consummated in Christ in the aspect of what? Of the new covenant, which is in contrast to the old covenant. The only way you can say with Zechariah, the Lord is my God, is to be in that everlasting covenant, or what the theologians call the covenant of grace with God. Remember, in Hebrews 13:20, it speaks of that blessed covenant. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through how? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Again, it is that precious blood of Christ that saves us from our sins. It is that fountain open wide for sin, okay, that sanctions the covenant. You know, Peter speaks of that precious blood of Christ. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Why? He said, that your faith and hope might be in God. At the end of verse 21. But then Jeremiah also tells us there in Jeremiah 24:7, how we can be in this covenant with God. Because in Jeremiah 24:7, which I think we sing also, he says, and I will give him a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Again, we're not talking about religion. No. Because religion in itself, it can take your soul to hell. Well, we're talking about a relationship with God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place you can find a relationship with God, is through Christ. Christ clearly says in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And the only way to God, as we said, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you also, remember when Peter was preaching there in the book of the Acts, preaching a mighty sermon, and he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved, speaking of the name of Christ. You know, 1 Peter 3:18, Peter also said, for Christ also once had suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. So Christ came to suffer upon the cross for sin, to die for our sins. He died how? As the just for the unjust. Amazing. He went to the cross to undertake that awful suffering and pain to pay for sin, that we might be in a relationship with God, that we might be in a covenant with God. And again, religion cannot do this for you. No, religion usually takes you away from God. Just look at the Jews in the time of Christ. They were so full of religion, but they attacked Christ mightily and they crucified him on the cross. Again, for Christ has also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. Now, I also remind you that when Christ went to the cross, what did he do? He also instituted the Lord's table right before he went to the cross at what was known as the Passover. This is why we don't celebrate the Passover. We celebrate the Lord's table. But right before he went to the cross, it says there in Matthew 26, it said, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye of it. Verse 28, it says, for this is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. And the phrase, my blood of the new testament, can also be rendered, my blood of the new covenant. What blessed words. And in light of that, we need to remember to partake of the Lord's table soon again. But again, this is the essence of our salvation, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? It brought in the new covenant. And so God deals with us through the aspect of a covenant. You know, and you think about it, that this covenant, it was a covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, sanctified, ratified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as our surety and our mediator. This new covenant was signed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, please understand that every time that God saves a sinner, he enters into a covenant with them and what calls them my people, that they can now say, the Lord is my God. That's the blessing. I wish I had time to go read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, that speaks of what happens when he enters the covenant, when he saves the sinner. But I'll just read one verse to you in Ezekiel 16:8. It said, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I entered into a covenant with thee, said the Lord God, thou became with mine." Whoo, how glorious is that? That God comes to us, he saves us, and he says, thou became with mine. Yet every time he saves a sinner, he says, thou art mine. So that we can say, the Lord is my God. What a blessing when God saves us. You know, in Isaiah 55:3, it also says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, that your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercy of David." And so what a blessed, glorious proposition from God to enter into a new covenant, yea, the everlasting covenant with a sinner. And then be their God, and they can confess that the Lord is my God. What a blessing. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ also said there in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know why it's everlasting life? It's because it's called the everlasting covenant. What a blessing when you think about it. And so again, when Zechariah again said in Zechariah 13:1, "In that day shall be a fountain open." That fountain that Zechariah speaks about again is the precious blood of Christ. That fountain was open on that cruel cross, as Jesus shed his precious blood, he sacrificed himself for the salvation of his people. It was very, very personal. And this is why he makes that covenant that we become his and he becomes ours. I love that. And so again, I love how the Lord enters into covenant with his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul reminds us that the only way we can get to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he says, "To the praise of his glory, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, which is Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." And so, in order for anyone to be able to say, as it says there in Zechariah 9:13, "The Lord is my God," is to be saved from your sins by the blood of Christ. And this is the point of why Christ went to the cross. And again, Isaiah 55:3. I love that verse. "Incline your ear, come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And so again, this morning, if you're outside Christ, will you not come to Christ? Confess your sins. Repent. Look to him. That you can have that relationship with God so that you can walk out of this auditorium this morning and you can confess and say, "The Lord is my God," and enter into that blessed covenant with him, having that assurance that as we enter 2022, that the God of this Bible is my God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. So we can start 2022 in Christ and have that good hope through grace so that you can say, with a holy conviction and with great joy as you read the other verses and say, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my life. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my defense. The Lord is my helper. Yea, the Lord is my God." How glorious is that? And therefore, again, we can say, just like Isaiah said when he said, "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thee, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithful and true." How glorious is that? What a blessing to be able to declare and say, as again we read there in Zechariah 13, when it says, "The Lord is my God." And so may God add to the preaching of his word this morning. And again, can you say with such a clear conscience and conviction, "The Lord is my God," as we enter into 2022, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your goodness and mercy. But above all, We thank you for your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven to come, to die upon the cross, to save us, to birth us into his new, into the kingdom of God, to be able to have that relationship with God, that we can now declare, the Lord is my God. And to have that assurance that no matter what happens, what trial, what difficulty, whatever might come upon us, that we can have a relationship with our God. We can trust our God. And like David also declared, my times are in thine hand. And so God, again, bless your word this morning and give us that good hope through grace, knowing that we can confess in Christ, the Lord is my God. And thus, we have all this in your most blessed and holy name. Amen and amen.